This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Consumers are borrowing more than ever, and that might be okay. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. U.S. consumers are borrowing a total of $13.86 trillion. That is according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That is $1.2 trillion more than the previous peak in 2008. Most of that is mortgages, followed by student loans and auto loans. Mark Lucchini is chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott and joins us. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
So aggregate household debt balances, consumer debt increased by $192 billion in the second quarter of 2019. Is that something we should be worried about?
Still, as a percentage of overall household income, consumer debt today is at a multi-decade low. And given the low cost of servicing that debt, given how low interest rates are, the coverage ratio is exceedingly high. So while there are certain pockets that are creaking a little bit, like auto loans appear to be coming into some problems, and as well student loans, things as it relates to other non-revolving credit lines, particularly like mortgages, for instance, are in a very, very healthy place. So overall, I'm still rather nonplussed by the growth in credit at this juncture.
There is this sort of general anxiety, or people are wondering, is a recession coming our way? But it does appear that consumers are in a pretty good place, as you were saying.
If one is going to make some predictions around handicapping the odds of a recession, one would have to look at the state of the consumer. Overall, I believe that the consumer's wherewithal and propensity to spend is intact and therefore should allow for the economy to be propelled forward by way of the consumer's participation in it.
Mark Lucchini, chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It is that time of year when Apple unveils something and then people get excited about it or don't, and this year might be a don't. Apple's expected to announce the latest versions of the iPhone and Apple Watch today, and analysts are not expecting anything revolutionary this time around. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has more.
Apple's yearly iPhone events used to be the Super Bowl of tech reveals.
Now let's talk about iPhone.
But analysts like Angelo Zeno at research firm CFRA just aren't excited for this year's new hardware.
We do think that the actual upgrade cycle this time around will be fairly lackluster.
Last quarter's figures show Apple's iPhone revenue is down 12% year on year. Its other devices are doing better, but the real excitement is around Apple's new services. It's just launched its credit card, and it could use today to talk about the prices for its upcoming TV and gaming platforms.
It's an ecosystem play.
Jack Cutts is from the Consumer Technology Association. He says services companies like Google are focusing more on hardware, and Apple, known for its hardware, is now focusing on services it can offer for a subscription.
It's a natural pivot point for many types of companies.
Next year, Apple's expected to unveil 5G phones and maybe even something new like a foldable screen, which could get excitement up again. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Today, the Census Bureau releases data it collected last year on income, poverty, and health insurance coverage in the U.S. Experts are concerned the number of children in poverty will rise over the coming years as a new immigration rule goes into effect in about a month. The expanded public charge rule, as it's known, would make it harder for immigrants to get green cards if they've used several types of government benefits. Dr. Bernard Dreyer is a professor of pediatrics at NYU and co-author of a National Academies of Science report on reducing child poverty. Good morning.
Good morning.
So can you draw the link for us? What's the connection between these rules, which would make it harder for low-income people to get a green card in the future, and child poverty?
What this rule has done is made the entire immigrant community fearful of getting any benefit, including benefits for their citizen children. We know in New York State, for example, that the WIC roles, Women, Infant, and Children Supplemental Nutrition Program roles, have decreased, even though that has nothing to do with the public rule.
Basically, you're saying the real impact here is that immigrants who themselves may actually be eligible to participate in government assistance programs and whose children certainly are too afraid to actually take advantage of them.
Correct. I'm a pediatrician, and I would say the vast majority of my patients are immigrant families. I've had parents say, I'm not going to enroll him in universal preschool, even though educational benefits have nothing to do with the public charge. There's just a huge fear factor. The entire immigrant community has been made to feel under siege and afraid that somehow this will be held against them.
Do we have any idea of how many families might forego programs that actually they're okay to use?
A report that was issued in May did indicate that somewhere between 10 and 20% of families who are immigrants were foregoing or planned to forego benefits such as food stamps, Medicaid, and housing vouchers. Interestingly, the study showed that even families where everyone is a citizen, 10% of those families are foregoing benefits like Medicaid.
To what extent would this, do you think, increase childhood poverty, and what are the consequences?
We estimate in general that without food stamps, poverty rate for children would be 4 to 5% higher. We know that poverty causes stress, which impacts their ability to learn and to succeed in school, and often leads to lifelong intergenerational poverty.
Dr. Bernard Dreyer, pediatrician, NYU pediatrics professor, and a National Academies of Science panelist, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.